The Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast. Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome once again to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the news, fun and crack from the world of the Two Johnnies. You're Johnny B.
I am Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. And we've got Maura, our producer, is here with us as well. Maura, say hello.
Hello.
Maura from County Mead.
Now, lads, podcast number 3. Thanks so much for rating, reviewing and telling your friend about the podcast and all that crack. And thanks a million for people leaving nice reviews. It's lovely to read. And
to the one fella who left a negative review.
Fuck off.
I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight you wherever you are, lad. You sounded American by his text.
Yeah. Some of the comments on the page you've been leaving have been Chloe Murphy said, really good. Keep it up, lads. Queer funny. She's obviously from Wexford, I'm
possibly
gonna guess.
From Carlow.
Maybe so. Yeah, yeah. Becca said, absolutely love the Two Johnnies. They always manage to put a smile on my face. Much love from Mead. This is definitely a relation to yours, Mara, or something, is it?
That's Mara's cousin.
Mara's paid her, say that. Daniel O'Donnell said, ankles out. I'm not sure if that's like wee Daniel, but if it is, fucking fair juice to you, Daniel, boy. Keep the ankles out. Eleanor said, lads, Tuesday morning commuting to Dublin is an awful lot easier with G to listen to. Laughing like a lunatic on the train, keep it up. Also, Carlow's a nice spot, just stay away from that blue light district.
I never heard of the blue light district.
So if anybody from Carlow's listening, get in touch, lads. What is the blue light district? And also, safety warning, lads. If you're listening to this podcast while driving, when Noel's news is about to come on, I'd pull over.
One lad was onto us. He said he nearly got fired. He was inside in work, pretending to work and need the podcast on. And he just kept bursting out laughing. So that's the boom is back. Lads, listen to podcasts while they're pretending to work.
That's the job. Be careful, lads. Be careful where you're listening to it and stay safe. Now, on this week's podcast, we are asking what we would do if we were Taoiseach for the day, reliving our communion and confirmation, and discussing the scandalous amount of cash children are making these days, getting our weekly news roundup from
geriatric
hurling fundamentalist Noel Furlong. Maura will be probing us with our mystery topic, and we give you our yurts and dirts of the week. Now, firstly, any other business raised on last week's podcast, Johnny Bay?
Yes, Johnny Schmacks. They were asking about boys and girls playing the ga together. And it looks like nowadays it only goes as far as under 12s. And only in the small clubs. Okay. All the big clubs seem all the girls play with the girls and the boys play with the boys.
And also we have a bit of feedback on the teenage disco.
That's right. Turns out the slow set is gone, Johnny, is it?
It is. The slow set is gone. Phone parties are still a thing. Nobody jocks each other anymore, lads.
And for those of you who don't know, jocking was when you pull down a fella's tracksuit pants and leave him in his jocks.
Fellas used to think it was cool. Young lads don't wear tracksuit pants anymore, I'm hearing to discos. Apart from lads who want to go fighting, they all wear 6 silk 11 degrees t-shirts and black skinny jeans, and they're referred to now as freshies.
Yeah.
So people have been calling me a freshie because I wear the gear, like, you know.
Lad, your jeans to be queer skinny though, in fairness.
I know.
You do have big legs though.
They're chunky legs. Chunky but funky, lad. That's me.
I remember seeing Johnny, the photos of Johnny when he was about 12 with the bleach blonde hair. What were we calling you?
Chunky Shady.
Yeah.
Instead of Slim Shady, Chunky Shady. But our weekly roundup, Johnny. What's been going on in Two Johnny's land this week?
What have we been up to? This week, we launched the Two Johnnies app. It's only available on the iPhone. So if everybody who owns an Android could stop abusing me on Snapchat, I'd really appreciate that. I mean, I did put up a thing saying, we're making the Android one, please bear with us. But no, the abuse has been constant and violent. So Android users, we're thinking of you. But Smacks is going to give you a little clip.
On the app, there's a soundboard. There's also a link to all our socials. So you have no excuse for not following us. The Instagram, Snapchat, it's all there. And there's also a soundboard. So you can just wreck everyone's head. So if you're listening in the office, you can just play this and drive people mad.
You can't drink tea with a fella on Facebook.
That's one of the soundboards. You also have this one.
19 years, I heard senior. And I never got a ball.
Oh, no, man.
So there's loads of little taglines there and comments and all that.
And it's free.
And it's free, lads. Jesus, like, you know, we're giving it away for free.
And it went to number one on the app charts in Ireland. Couldn't believe that.
It's probably at 790 now, but sure, listen.
And thanks for downloading the podcast, because the podcast went to number one as well.
Yeah, we're going well, lads. I think we're taking up Formula One next week.
What are we on to, Johnny?
Yeah, our weekly roundup, John. So what's coming for the week ahead?
You never mentioned
the snow as well, lad, last week.
Well, the snow was good old crack. I made a giant slitter.
Yeah.
And then I went down to GA Field and I made three snowmen, put them in the goal, and I took shots on them.
Were they any good in goal?
One fella saved it right in the belly. I had a digging slitter out of him.
I was out playing in the snow. I tied a tyre onto a rope and onto the back of a quad bike and flew up and down the road. Hours of endless entertainment, lads. So I really enjoyed the snow. It was good old crack. And
our gig in Portlaoise was cancelled, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, but we are back there on the 6th of April, I think, is it?
That's right.
That's right. Done well there, didn't we? Linking that in. We're getting there. We're getting better at this every week. Now, the week ahead, we're a hometown gig, Johnny B.
Crowds are already queuing outside the door of the Care House Hotel. Two Johnnies, we're doing a gig in our hometown and we're expecting to be absolutely lynched after it. Because we'd be going around taking the mick out of people. It's fine taking the mick out of somebody until he's sitting in the second row eyeballing you.
It's there'll be a few lads at it. They might recognise a few of the characters.
There's a man in our club called Noel. And his grandchild actually Snapchatted me a photo of him and was like, Noel wants to know what's going on. And I'm like, it's not based on him. Like, will you relax? Like, just because he's got the name.
Well... Okay, so that's what's coming up. We're also recording a couple of songs, Johnny, during the week in the recording studio.
That's right. The juices have been flowing as of late. The recording has, or the songwriting has been going good. So we're banging a few more tunes out this week.
That's what's going on, lads. If you want tickets for the Care House show, there's still a few available. You'll get them from the hotel, Care House Hotel. You'll find our number online. Our committee members of the Care GA Club will be more than happy.
Just arrive on, lads. You'll all be get let in. You'll
yeah,
all get
it's a GA do, lads. They're not going to turn you away. Trust me. Trust me. Okay, into the meat and two veg. Topic number one. What would you do if you were Taoiseach for the day? I mean, if you're Taoiseach for 24 hours, like what mad shit would you do? What would you change, Johnny?
First thing I'd change, national anthem.
Okay.
Hour on the Veen. It's Fairborn, lads.
Oh, lads.
I'll tell you one thing now. Nobody knows the words. Right? You're going to say you know a little bit now, right? But do you ever go to like, you're at Tip Cork now, right? Munster final day. And everyone is pumped up. Next minute, 45,000 lads mumbling. It's all you get. All we know is the last line of like, Hallo Premier! That's all anyone knows. And I'll tell you one thing. I was over in Milwaukee in the US of A at Irish Fest. And who was singing was Barry Gleason. He'd be a brother of Donald Gleason, the actor, right? And Barry's a good singer, great man for the crack. And he came down one day and he sang the national anthem, Hour on the Veen, sang it in English, a soldier song. And I tell you, it's fucking powerful. It's absolutely powerful.
That's controversial, man.
But the words are powerful.
Yeah.
But you don't take any heed of the words because they're not Squealia and you don't know what it means.
Fair enough. So you want to put it in English?
Well, that'd be one possibility. Otherwise, I have a couple of other suggestions of songs that I would like to be the new national anthem. I reckon we could sort this out on an Instagram poll.
Okay.
Because you know the way, like, Tipperary now, we have Slieve na Mann, and Cork have the banks of my own lovely Lee, and Dublin have Maniac 2000. I thought, instead of Hour on the Veen, we could use Rock and Roll Kids.
I wouldn't be dead set against it, though.
Yeah, Paul Harrington, Charlie McGettigan, 1994 Eurovision winner. You can imagine it, lad. Like, England have come over to play Ireland in rugby or something, and it's all like, I remember 62.
They wouldn't know what was going on, lad.
Right, my second suggestion, Hit the Diff.
Yeah.
There it is, right? Like St. Patrick's Day weekend, Croke Park, Ireland versus England, Grand Slam decider in the rugby. John the Bull Hayes is about to break into tears. You could hear a pin drop. Next minute, the band step up. Toe and lifting, so and then.
Drawn, hauling and buckraking.
So for people who don't know, Hit the Diff is a country song about tractors. But it's some crack, lad. If you had that playing, imagine you had 80,000 people singing Hit the Diff. Let's be fucking lifting that.
So that's the first change you'd make.
Well, yeah, the third song that I kind of liked as a possible national anthem would be Raglan Road.
Now yeah, you're talking, yeah?
Right, Raglan Road, good song, it's a poem by Patrick Kavanagh, 1946. And he actually lived on Raglan Road, which is in Balls Bridge, just near Pembroke. And he actually released the poem under the name The Dark-Haired Miriam Ran Away.
That's the Raglan Road is certainly more catchy anyway.
That's what they call the song. But the poem is actually called Dark Haired Miriam Ran Away. It was about this young one he fancied. And he used to ask her to critique his poetry because it has something to say to her, something to chat to her. And she said to him, Jesus, Paddy, it's wicked boring. Why is it all about bogs? But he was from Monaghan, like, you know what I mean? So it was all bogs and depression, like. Mm. So he wrote another love song for her, and that'd be... So I reckon we could have an Instagram poll. I kind of fancy Hit the Diff to win it now, to be honest. And I think it'd be some crack if that was your national anthem, like.
So that's the first change you'd like to make.
Okay. Okay. What about you, Johnny?
The first change I'd like to make would be more bank holidays, lads. There's just not enough bank holidays. I definitely have one a month.
How many is there at the moment?
I think there's 8 at the moment.
Is that... All right.
Seven or 8.
It's not too bad.
We counted up in the car the other day. I can't remember. Many bank holidays are tomorrow? I don't know.
Not enough.
Yeah, there's not enough, exactly. So I definitely have one a month. Or possibly just do away with Mondays altogether. And just have like a 3-day weekend. Saturday, Sunday and Monday.
But I think the Sunday session is nearly better. Because you know you shouldn't be out, like.
Yeah, but that's it. Like, we the Irish love doing things you're not supposed to do. Mm. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we used to have a friend of ours, and he used to be a great man for the Sunday session. I remember being out with him one day, and there was a band playing, and his phone was ringing, and he just wouldn't answer it. And I kept saying, are you going to answer that phone? He said, well, it's the boss now, ringing me about the morning. So the phone rings, and he just answers it then, and he just says, how does Tuesday sound? That man didn't do Mondays, but he had the right idea. He had the right idea.
He had an idea.
Won't say it's the right one, but definitely I would be thinking...
Like what, the first weekend of every month?
First weekend of every month, have it on a Monday, yeah. And I would definitely say the Mondays after the All-Ireland hurling and football finals should be a national bank holiday.
Oh, yes.
Except for pubs.
But they'd have to open.
Yeah, they'd have to open.
So oh, come on, obviously, yeah.
It'd be like, be an extension of St. Patrick's Day. Two more St. Patrick's Day, but they're...
Liam McCarthy Day
and Sam Maguire Day. There you are, lads. I'm taking this to fucking the doll boy. I'm getting Matty McGrann the phone now, and I'm getting on to him, and I'm going to say, Matty, let's...
He's going
to
get it done, is he?
Let's say he'll get it done, yeah, yeah. Still waiting for him to fix them potholes outside. But.
Well, one thing I'd like to change now, if I was the head honcho, is the guard's uniform.
What's wrong with the guard's uniform?
It's fucking rank. That is rotten. Come on now. Do you ever see a guard and be like, looking well there in your blue flannel? Right? We were coming out, myself and a few of the boys, we were drinking in a pub in Dublin there off Abbey Street called The Celt, or is it The Celt? C-E-L-T?
The Celt, yeah.
Do you know it?
Vaguely.
Oh, Mara's been in. Mara's been in. So we were in there drinking bottles of Guinness off the shelf all day anyway. And we were coming down the street, and my mate Brian Leary was up on one of the boys' backs. We were caffling, as my father would say, caffling, going down O'Connell Street. And these two guards come up to us. One of them was a female guard. I suppose you can't say band guard anymore, no?
No, you can't, no.
Right, thanks, Mara. And, so she says to us, like, get down! You know, she said, came over telling us to cop on, like. And my mate Leary says to her, that outfit does nothing for your hips, love.
Oh, my God.
And she was just about to unload on us. And then the male guard was like, hey, boys, you better move on now. She's going to kill the laddie. But, like, if the outfit was a bit sexier, a bit more fitted now, like, imagine, like, you're in the square in Turles now, Munster final day, and there's a load of lads acting the maggot, and a band guard, a female guard, comes over to sort you out, like, and she's a lasher. Like, all the boys are going to be like, oh, just stay back, lads. Stay back.
I think the fellas would look more intimidating as well.
Yeah, just see the American cops.
Yeah,
now, I know they might shoot you at the drop of a hat, like, but... The Irish cops, they were a bit cooler looking.
Tighter t-shirts, possibly.
Do you know what though? The guards now, they go around Dublin in their stab-proof vests, right? And they have the hands like tucked into the stab-proof vest. Yeah. Have you seen that? That just looks weird. Just, like.
Yeah. Keeping their hands warm, yeah. Under male breasts. Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think, well, when I'm thinking of the guards in uniform, I'm thinking of the male guards when they're passing out of Templemore and where they're wearing their proper suits. And, you know, a man in uniform is not a bad thing.
Hey, one more. Any guards like to get in touch with the podcast? But you should go for, like, the Aussie guards. They look very cool now.
Shorts.
not just because they love wearing shorts, but they have, like, the old tight t-shirts and a pea cap. Mm. They look fair cool now. Now, in fairness, they're all in incredible shape. I'm not having a pop, like, you know.
You just like that uniform because that's what you wear on a daily basis. So.
Shorts and a pea cap.
Shorts and a pea cap and a tight t-shirt, yeah. So, new Gardaí uniform, so, Johnny?
I think, yeah, they could go black, maybe, be cool. And, you know, maybe a bit tighter on the arms and for the girls, you know, and the pants could be a little more fitted, let's be honest, lads. You know what I mean?
Could they not wear runners though as well?
Yeah.
The big boots to have.
I want to chase someone in shoes.
You'd be running after some fella with a big pair of waders on you. Oh, you reckon a pair of Asics or something? No.
I'd say the quads would be absolutely chafed off you trying to chase someone in them pants.
Okay, so you're changing the Gardaí uniform, John.
Absolutely. I mean, the band Gardaí uniform looks like it was designed by fucking nuns.
Female Gardaí.
Female Gardaí. God, am I going to get shut down on the air?
It looks like it was designed by nuns.
I can't wait for you to get pulled over by a female guard the next time.
You're
not going to take it easy on you, lad, for saying this.
I'll tell you one thing. I was going up to town one day in the Two Johnnies Jeep that we have sponsored. And
thanks to Pierce Moores.
And the flashing, the blue lights come on behind me, and I pull over, and the guard pulled up beside me and was like, "Well, how's it going?" I said, "Just because you follow me online, you don't have to follow me in person now." He was like, "No bother, lad, see you later," and he drove off again.
Really?
He just pulled me over to say hello, like.
Yeah. I got stopped. I got bright lights in Cork. And your man's like, "Do you mind blowing into this bag, whatever?" And I was like, "Yeah, no bother, you're grand." And then another like more was like, "Hey, the Two Johnnies, boy." And the other guard hadn't a clue like who I was. And then the other lad was like, "Ah, some crack lad, I watched the videos." He was clearly from the country, I'd say, judging by that accent. But so we're changing the uniform for guards. Okay, the next change I would like to make is I'd like to shorten the workday. You can probably see where I'm going, lads, with this. You know, bank holiday, shorten the workday. I was never fond on work.
You don't do a whole pile as it is, Johnny.
No, but I'd make it even shorter. So I'm thinking, like, you know, maybe work 9 to 3. People would be more productive. They'd probably be nicer to you. Like, I was in a deli there a couple of weeks ago, and there was no coleslaw left. I asked Joanne, "Sorry, do you have any more coleslaw?" I might as well have asked her to perform open heart surgery on me. The puss on her. So I'm thinking if they have a shorter work day, they might be actually nicer. And, like, now I've worked on the flip side. I've worked in behind the counter. I also worked on the deli counter for a while. You know, and I was actually the worst customer in that Super Value before I got the job. The girls in there used to hate me. I had a great trick with the salad rolls. Lads,
listen
to me now. I'm going to share a life hack with you, right? If you're going in getting the salad roll and they say, "What do you want on it?" Just be like, I'll just have tuna on it. And then
This is what you used to do?
This is what I used to do. So I'd be like, "I just want tuna on it." And she's like, "Grand." So she fills the roll to the brim with tuna. And then I go, "Oh, sure, go on, I'll have a bit of coleslaw and egg mayonnaise, a bit of potato salad there and that as well." So by the time you get the roll in, it's around 6 kilos in weight. And you can eat your way through. And then you'll eventually get to the roll and enjoy it. Like, so you're getting more bang for your buck, lads. There's a life hack.
So you want a shorter working day.
Shorter work day. I think you'll have to put up with less dickheads as well. I mean, when I was working in behind the butcher counter, a fella used to come in every week. Oh, fuck. And when he'd come, I'd be like, "Oh, God." And he used to get 2 pounds of diced beef. Now, the clue is in the name, diced beef. It's already diced. And he used to come in and be like, "Oh, well, Johnny, do you mind dicing that up a bit smaller?" I used to be just thinking, "You fucking miserable fucker." I don't like.
What was he trying to spare it like? Trying to stretch it?
I say he was trying to stretch it. And it's not like he had a small mouth near, because you'd hear the fucker coming once he was in the front door of the shop. So that was one lad.
Was he an older gentleman?
He was an older gentleman, yeah.
Maybe dentures and couldn't chew big lumps of meat.
I feel bad no more. Well, there's another lad was just miserable. Like, he'd get a couple of lamb chops and he'd be like, "How much are they, Johnny?" I'd be like, "6.14. And he'd be like, "We'll call it 6.10. I'd be like, "Oh, get the fuck out of here with that." So shorten the work day, lads. They'll have to deal with less fuckers. And I think people will just generally be happy. They'll be happier in work. So that's what I'm thinking. Shorten work
day. But get paid the same.
Get paid more, probably. Yeah. No, seriously, what's the average wage? 8.65? Christ.
The minimum wage.
The minimum wage.
Yeah, it's 8 euro something, yeah.
Fuck, she wouldn't buy sweets out of that.
But sure, if you're knocking hours off people's wages, now you're going to be getting paid less then, like.
Yes, but that will bring up the wage.
Bring up minimum wage, yeah. And work
minimum
less hours.
Minimum wage should be a tenner anyway. It should, like, in all fairness, like.
Suppose, yeah.
I think, like, what's termed the living wage is where, like, you know.
Yeah,
if
that's
you
like 11.35 or something. Yeah. Yeah, that's fairly acceptable.
And so the people who aren't on the living wage, what, are they on the dying wage? Or
they're on I can't go out Saturday night, lads. I'm only on 8.65, right?
One thing I'd like to do would be change the flag. Now, I like the flag, right? The green, white and gold. I'm not bothering with that. But we used to have the harp on the Irish flag. And having a musical instrument on your flag is class. So I would definitely like put that harp back on the green bit of the flag. Then on the white bit of the flag, you could have a pint. maybe a nice the silhouette of a creamy pint, creamy pint of Guinness. And then on the gold part of the flag, the orange, you could just have a bunch of lads.
Just a bunch of lads having a crack.
Yeah, and you could run like a Facebook competition to see who the lads would be. It'll just be random lads. Because that's Ireland. Do you know what I mean? Ireland's like, we're up for the crack. We're a great bunch of lads. A few tunes, a few creamy pints, a bunch of lads. Johnny, what else would you like to do?
The next change I'd be making would be I'd be abolishing closing times on pubs.
Hear, hear.
Now.
Hear, hear.
I'm making sense now, aren't I? Yeah. I'll tell you when I'm done. You won't tell me when I'm done, right? So no closing times on pubs. And also, it will alleviate queues in Supermax and other such fast food outlets.
So you'd have no closing time on the fast food as well?
They would also be allowed to be 24 hours.
But they'd all be working shorter days.
They'll work in shifts. Shift work. And they'll be paid double at night. Because if you're cleaning up some fella sick, you want to be getting well fucking paid for it. Or if you're stopping two lads headbutting the foreheads off each other outside the door, you'd want to be getting well paid for that. So I'm abolishing closing times. Like, there's nights there where I'm only getting going, lads. And your man's going last hours and saying, ah, for fuck's sake, like. You know, there's a fella just after breaking out guitar and he's starting into the first verse of Caledonia. I'm not really ready to leave now. You know, I'm only getting going. So I genuinely think, like, close whenever you want. Some places do that anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you live in the country.
I actually don't know what closing time is, to be honest now.
I think closing time is 12:30 on a Saturday night for pubs. It differs all the time. Sure, look at like.
It depends. Last orders is like 11:30 most nights, isn't
yeah.
it?
What?
Weeknights, yeah.
Yeah, weeknights, yeah. And then like maybe in Dublin. Maybe time to drink up, like, yeah.
Yeah.
4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. Last orders, I'll have 12 pints of Guinness, please. So yeah, I'm going to abolish closing times and keep Supermax and such places open all night. Yeah. Because like, if you're in a session, finish there at 4 o'clock, 4:10, there's nothing more satisfying than a curry cheese chip.
Oh yeah.
And you know, off you go home, you're happy out then.
Paint your face with curry then.
There'll be cheese in your eyebrows the next morning and all when you wake up. So that's my second last change, Johnny.
We could probably do it a few more hospitals sorry to be on a serious one. But the last time I was in hospital now, I cut my hand on the bandsaw. As you know, my family are hurley makers, and I thought it would be a nice idea one Friday to stick my hand into the bandsaw.
You were brushing your hair, really, tell the truth.
And Joseph down in Cork, and that place is a war zone. You know, people working there now are flying around the place. But like, I was checked in during the day and no one came near me until 10 o'clock at night, and it's like, there's a trolley there for you. I said, sound. So I went across the road.
Tesco.
I went across the road and got an Indian takeaway and fed myself. And then I had no pillow on the bed. So somebody, I just went and stroked one somewhere else. Like, I robbed a pillow. And then I couldn't get a cup of tea. And I went down to the canteen. I was like, give me a cup of tea there. The staff canteen. And then I came back with a cup of tea and there was an old boy beside me. And he was like, Jizz, where did you get the cup of tea? So I went and robbed him a cup of tea as well. But I reckon, if you put the call out, we're looking for volunteers. We're going building a hospital now next weekend.
You reckon you get it?
I reckon all the boys, any lad who have an old track machine, he'd be like, I'll pitch in there for an hour. You know what I mean? I reckon it'd be grand.
So that's the plan, so we'll build more hospitals.
We're all with volunteers. Okay. No planning permission, no health and safety, just weekend work only. All lads doing nixers.
Right, right.
Okay. Paid in cash. You know what I mean?
If you're listening, Mr. Taxman, cash is gone. You can't be getting paid in cash.
You're building a hospital for the children, like. Couldn't you give them buys an old
dig out?
Give the boys a dig out.
The boys on the dole, just give them cash in hand.
Oh, like, there's no lad around here. He was plastering a shed for me, and he came out from around the back of the shed, and he's like, sure, you'll hardly be around the back, will you? I was like, I'll do it right, man, will you? Actually, you'll probably be painting this anyway, won't you?
So that's the last thing. We're going to build more hospitals.
Yeah.
Okay, the last change I'd be making, I'd be getting rid of the speed vans.
Huh?
Lad, if the devil had an idea, it was putting speed vans out. I'm telling you, that the work is Satan. The work is Satan.
Have you been caught recently?
No, I've never been caught, like. Touch wood. Oh, fuck, I'm probably get caught on my way home. But I have never been caught. But I just think they're wicked sneaky. Like, you know, I'm not saying you'd be happy to be caught by the guards. But fuck it, there's a bit of pride in that. You know, I got pulled over by the guards. Where's them speed vans, lad? And they're so snaky, like. They're just in a ditch. I reckon fellas planted the speed vans years ago and then built ditches around them. I'm telling you that now. So I'm getting rid of speed vans. I think they're just sneaky. Let the cops catch you if you're speeding, right?
For sure. Yeah. Maybe. Like, The thing I hate about it is you're going down the road, you're tipping on, maybe you're doing a bit too much, too fast, right? Then you're caught. But sure, you're caught then, and you're like, well, there'll hardly be another speed van.
Yeah, so I'll just, drive it
I'll boot it from now on.
I reckon. Well,
hold on, if it was a sign saying, this is a wicked bad stretch of road, there's a speed van up ahead, then you'd slow down.
Yeah.
And there'd be no crashes on that bit of road.
That's it. And I'd also say, I'd make it compulsory that lads must flash the lights at you to let you know that the speed van's up there. Is that a thing up the country where you go, you have the double old flash of lights as if to say, watch up there, lad. Watch, sketch up. The cops are around the corner.
People do that, but I don't think you're allowed to do that. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed, but I'm going to make that compulsory. Okay. If there's a speed van, you all have to flash each other.
It should be on the driving test.
So it should be on the driving. Now, do the flashy thing. Do the let your man know the cops are up there pulling. That man might have no tax. Okay, Johnny.
Oh, that'll do me.
That'll do you. That'll You're do done. Me. Enough changes, mate.
I'm retiring.
I've put together a bit of a cabinet now if I was to get into power.
What, and a flat pack IKEA, is it?
No, and it's not a shelf from IKEA. It's my actual, my backroom team, you know. Behind every great man is actually more great men. There's no women on this list. Minister for Crack, Tommy Tiernan.
Fair enough.
He's just good crack. I just have him in there, like, that's his own little office. Like, now, Minister for the Arts, Ronan Keating.
For God's sake.
Right? You find me someone who doesn't enjoy the song Life is a Roller Coaster. That is a classic, lad. I'm telling you. Give anybody listening to podcast, give that listen after.
What do you think Ronan Keating's going to do as Minister for the Arts?
I don't know, sure. He'll just go around and be like, sorry. He'll just say sorry to everyone. Sorry. It's all deaf. Fair play. So that's basically what I'm going for.
I don't know, lad. I can take or leave him now, tell you.
Love Ronan. I won't have a bad word said about him, right?
What about the other boys?
Minister.
Is like Keith Duffy going to be a junior minister for arts?
Who are you, budgie?
Yeah.
Maybe he could be his Ronan's Shane. Assistant. Well, they're all good at backing up Ronan anyway. So
yeah, that's all they ever did.
Shut up, we're meeting Keith Duffy next week.
Do you want to say something there, Mikey? No.
Minister for Enterprise, Francis Brennan. You know, from
the Kerry lad.
Yeah. What's that show he has?
At Your Service.
At Your Service, yeah. Francis Brennan lad can't put a foot wrong. He'd show lads how to put the old quilts on beds and stuff. I mean, that's all I learned in college anyway. So Francis Brennan as Minister for the Enterprise, he's a load of hotels going. And he's charging extortionate rates, so something's going well. So I definitely have Francis in there.
I don't know if we could afford him.
He's probably expensive, lad, is he?
Yeah, well, look, he'd be doing his country. He'd be doing a duty for the state.
Yeah, ministers get paid, I think, 140 grand a year.
Fuck it, he won't.
I'm nearly just sign up myself.
Yes, I'm nearly. Minister for Agriculture, I'd have Tom Dooley and Jerry McCarthy, who are the farmers from our sketches.
No good.
No good, they know the stuff. Either them or Sean O'Brien. I was just looking at his Instagram. He's loads of pictures of farm paraphernalia and tractors. He seems like he knows the crack. So Mike, give Sean a ring.
He knows more about farming than we do. So
for sure. So I definitely have him in there.
And plus, I think if he introduced the law, there's nobody going to argue with it.
Yeah.
Like if you sent him over to Europe to negotiate for more subsidies for farmers, like you're not going to say no to him, you know.
Come here to me now, Angela.
He'd lift Angela Merkel with a dumb tackle. Minister for Housing, Dermot Bannon.
Lad.
You wouldn't even have to check in with him because he'll just do whatever the fuck he wants anyway. Jizz, well, Dermot, I'm looking to get 20 bungalows built. No bother. Here's 10 5-story houses. Thanks, Dermot. And they're all in the shape of a stiletto for some. Just because he fucking wants to. You know, so. And lastly, I'd have Minister for Health, Cahill Jackson, the owner of Copperface Jacks. I've seen nurses doing things in there.
Above and beyond the call
Above
of duty.
Above and beyond the call of duty. I've seen them doing serious overtime in there. He seems to have a good relationship with the nurses anyway. So, Cahill Jackson for Minister for Health.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fair cabinet, lad.
So, that's basically my cabinet. And that's what I do if I was Taoiseach for 24 hours. Lads, the country be fucking ruined. So, in conclusion, lads. Two Johnnies, one seat. Don't ever vote us in. Stay clear. Okay. Lads. That time of the week. If you're driving, pull over. If you're in your office, make sure your boss isn't around. The Mazda has pulled up outside. The bales are tied onto the back. There's a smell of brute and Old Spice has just wafted in through the door. It's everybody's favourite hurling fundamentalist. And it's that time of the week, lads. It's Noel's News!
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! Well, young fella.
Well, Noel, it's great to have you here once again.
You didn't start out my intro music, no.
No, no. If you can bring me a little clip of what you want for next week, what would you like?
I don't know, something decent. Maybe Jimmy Buckley or...
He's banned on this podcast.
Well, better than that dirt you're playing at the moment, anyway. Look, I'm going to get stuck into it now. I'm sick of your shit. Wafting on there, two pups. You've that poor girl from Meat ruined. Right, first of all, I'm going to Egypt.
You're going to Egypt, Noel?
I'm not going to Egypt, you prick. Noel's news. We're starting with an item from Egypt. You know Egypt. Good at pyramids. Cat at hurling. Now, Egypt, to be honest, is a bit raw at the moment. It's like Carlo with more sand. Now, they wouldn't be known, the government out there, for their civil rights, to be honest. You could say they're a shower of bastards. But my news this week, Egypt has hired its first ever female bus driver.
Shit.
That's the truth. It's in Cairo. Her name is Abdullah. I'm not making it up now. 42-year-old woman going around driving a bus, right? And she's wearing the full hijab. Now, I know it's a religious thing, but there's only a small little slit to look out in. And I don't know how she's managing the mirrors with that joke over her face, to be honest. Now, people have said to me, right? As her name is, she never drove before. Not even a car. Right? She got 1 month training. She never even had a wheelbarrow, a bicycle, nothing. 1 month's training. And you know what she said in a recent interview? She's going to learn on the job.
I won't be getting on that bus.
Imagine your heart surgeon saying that to you. I'll figure it out as I go along. What goes where, right? So she's actually, now like you said, young fella, you wouldn't get on that bus. You wouldn't be allowed in the bus. Because it's a woman-only bus. There's only women allowed on the bus.
Reverse sexism.
The men have more fucking sense.
Oh, fair play to them. I'll get on that bus with her.
Right? No, but they had to because Cairo is actually the most dangerous city in the world for women. And every woman that gets on a bus out there gets sexually harassed. That's a fact.
It's like a Saturday night down your local, Noel.
Keep your hands to yourselves. So they said to they've praised her for her bravery. I think they should be praising the passengers for their fucking bravery. Never mind So that was it. She's learning on the job. And we wish her all the best. So there's women-only buses. And there's a similar thing on the train. There's women-only carriages where the women go. And then there's lads-only carriages where lads kind of sit around singing and playing cards and farting. So that's what's going on in Cairo.
Okay. Lovely, Noel.
Now, my second gripe of the week. There was a family in Dublin and they were trapped behind 8 foot of snow for 4 days. Couldn't get out of the house. They were up in Bohor na Breitha. It's just south of Tala. Honest to God, if they pity they had no digger or something to get them out now. But Rachel is the girl's name. And they had a farm. They had a family tractor. It was on, I think it was on Massey Ferguson 3660. Fucking thing broke down anyway. So they were stranded in the house, right? So they had no water. They had to pile the snow. Honest to God. And she did a baby. My little baby. Piling snow for the child. Swear to God, no water since Wednesday. They had no nappies. She said the child was shitting everywhere. no nappies. She'd use a cardigan. Now, she's trapped in the house with her parents, her two brothers, the child, and her boyfriend. And in a statement, the boyfriend said, "Get me the fuck out of here, I'm dying for a pint." They were rescued on Sunday and they went and got a snack box. So they were trapped behind 8 foot of snow and that was them. So Rachel Collins and the family, you're obviously living in the middle of fucking nowhere. In Dublin, I don't understand it. So, moral of the story, get a better tractor. And of course, I always like to finish with a local story. So my top local story this week is I've started eating Chinese.
Jesus Christ, okay.
Now, I was coming home from the pub the other night, fairly well on, and there was only one place open. It was the Chinese. Because of the snow. I said, the snow wasn't going to stop the fucking Chinese. Everyone else has gone home. The boys were inside flipping away. What it's called, something about a boat or a dragon or some fucking thing, I don't know. So I went in anyway, and I was trying to read the menu. Now, I was fairly loaded, to be honest. I think me trying to understand that, I'd have a better chance of getting the bus to Egypt. So your one says to me, what do you want? And I said, what have you fucking got? So she said something, she recommended wonton noodle. I said, it sounds lovely. I'd have 2 ton of noodle. Because I wouldn't be great with strange food. Like, I don't even go into Lidl or Aldi now.
No.
I wouldn't go in there. I wouldn't be gone. Them places are dodgy out now. I have no time for them. I know what's wrong, what happened up in Dublin now. Like, you heard they knocked down a Lidl.
Yes.
I heard it's Aldi done it. Because them lads are rough now. I mean, what I heard is, your man who started Lidl, he shot Michael Collins.
If you've just crashed into a tree, we apologise. Oh, God.
Are you okay there, girl? You know what I mean? You couldn't trust them fellas. I swear to God, that money goes in over the counter and it's piped straight to Angela Merkel. I swear to God. I wouldn't go in there. So that was a strange food. And he came out this year. She recommended a girl behind the counter. I don't know if you know her, the girl in the Chinese, do you?
I know her, yeah. I'm in there every night.
Oh, yeah. Maureen is her name, anyway. Lovely looking Chinese girl now. She recommended a spring roll. It's like grand. She came out with this yolk. It was like salad wrapped up like a fag and deep fried. And I'm going to be honest now, it was absolute dirt.
Dirt. Okay.
Next thing, out comes the waiter. And he gave me, instead of knife and fork, he put down these two twigs.
Tinker chopsticks, no.
I said, come here to me now, Jackie Chan. Go into that kitchen and get me a knife and fork or I'll poke the head off you. I said, I don't want any of your kung fu shit. Give me a knife and fork. I'll hit you a fop. You'll wake up in Shanghai. Marty is his name, anyway. Young lad. He's a nice lad. I got talking to him. So he came out with a knife and fork and chicken balls. Lad, they're fucking lovely.
Chicken balls.
I almost ate 40 of them.
You like the chicken
balls?
Oh,
I got a portion of chicken balls and I said, spin the wheel again, Marty. I'm going at him again. So I was eating the chicken balls the way good, huh? And I started seeing lads coming down the stairs. And then the goat Lonergan came in. Do you know the goat? You don't know the goat Lonergan? No, the goat is a bit of a handyman. And I said, how are you, goat? And
How are you, goat?
How are you getting on? So he went upstairs anyway, and there was all his knives and banging going on. And I thought goat might even put up a few shelves or something for Marty. But and I got chatting to Marty anyway, and he said, no. That's our other business. And I thought they might have been baking a few cakes for country markets or something now on the sly. Trying to run the fucking knocking shop in there. Now, I mean, I know the Chinese are good to make out like. But Marty, I swear to God, if you thrown him out a window, just up he'd go. So there were lads upstairs and they were going at it like. And I was below, I was up to my eyes in chicken balls. No. And I said to Marty, I said, does Maureen work upstairs? You're a fine looking woman now. Only, I mean, if she's upstairs getting stuck into some fella, I don't want her coming down handling me chow mein. And he said, no, there's a couple of local girls working upstairs, doing the job. So, to answer your next question, I didn't partake in it. Because I had Carmel at home and she was pure tick. Now, I shouldn't have been out anyway, you know. But that was it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what was going on there.
So you learn something new every day and all.
That's it, yeah.
If anybody is hurt or worried by what was just said in Noel's news,
Well, I'm only telling you what's going on around the town.
Thank you, Noel.
And I want to have a quick update on Cornell.
Cornell? Yeah, the Cornell, terrier.
Donald's dog, anyway.
Pat Carney's dog from Podcast One.
Yeah, sorry. Pat Carney's dog. He's not happy with the snow.
No.
He's not happy with the snow. Because he's, you know what? Carneys have Dalmatians, and Cornell will see the big bitches. And, you know what I mean? They'll rather get hard on Cornell. But God love him, he's so low to the ground. They'll rather be hitting off the snow. nearly froze the Mickey off him. And nearly went, I mean, to a solid enough without being covered in ice. You can nearly snap it off now. If it hit the ground, it shatter.
Jesus.
Mickey shatter. And a little update on Cromwell as well. That prick. I was talking last week about Cromwell and how much I'd love to puck the jaw off him. Someone told me, I read it actually in a book, that when Oliver Cromwell came to Ireland, he said he killed everything walking or crawling and he burnt every crop going. And I heard during the week, that's how Guinness was made. Cromwell burnt the crops and the boy said, fuck him, we'll use it anyway.
And they made Guinness.
And they made Guinness. Lovely, smoky, dark crops. And that's how we have creamy pints.
Noel, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, I'm glad I made enlightened your day now.
I'll tell you one thing, you've certainly enlightened, but we're all off for Chinese now.
That's lovely. Lovely. Them chicken balls are delicious.
Not the only thing that's delicious in the Chinese.
Well, I wouldn't know. You might know about the other menu.
Lads, that was Noel's News. Now it's time for Maura's mystery topic. Everybody's favourite mead woman gives us her mystery topic. If she's recovered from Noel's News over there, she almost had cardiac arrest there. But we have no prep. We have no idea what Maura's about to throw at us, but we're ready for it. Maura, what's your mystery topic this week?
Right, okay, give me a second there because we really need to stop letting Noel in the building here.
Bar him.
Right, okay, this week's topic, it's actually something that happened today. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties with today's podcast. So while Johnny B was sorting out, Johnny Smacks very kindly took me to get some nice lunch in Care. However, when it came...
Who's the best buy, huh?
When it came to paying for it, I wanted to pay for it. And he shouldered me out of the way and wouldn't let me pay, wouldn't let me like hand over. I like threw the money at the woman at the till and she wouldn't let me pay. Anyway, I'm wondering, I was really annoyed because I'm just like, lad, just let me back and pay for lunch.
We like to look after you, Maura.
But I wanted to pay. I'm wondering, is it ever acceptable for a lad to let a girl pay for lunch or even, or like... You know, even do 50-50, go Dutching it.
Oh, all the time. All the time, Maura. She pay anytime she wants, 100%.
Now, if Johnny had brought you for lunch today, he'd have thrown you in over the counter to pay for it. It's a strange one. First date. Now, not to say that we were on a date, Maura. Oh. But like, no, like we appreciate the job you do for us. So I thought it'd be nice to buy her lunch.
Yeah, Maura, you are driving down from the big smoke, like.
Yeah, so, you know, just thought, get you lunch, clear that up. But I'm saying, date-wise, Johnny, if you're on a first date with a bird, I think the fella should definitely pay for the first date.
Yeah,
I'm in the same
but
boat.
There's a caveat to that, right?
Cause if that's a girl, an awfully big word, Maura.
Yes, a caveat. Right, if the girl knows that, listen, this lad, he's not what he looked like on Tinder, his Tinder profile. There's not going to be a second date. If I, like, I've been in that situation and I always insist on paying half the bill because, like, you're not going to have a chance to get him back.
Because he's not getting dessert.
Exactly. Like, I think it's only kind of like the ethical kind of thing to do.
So, lads, if you're on a first date and she insists on paying half, you're not getting a second date. You're on the chopping board.
Yes.
I don't know. Chivalry, isn't that what they call it?
Yes.
Yes. So like, you know, pulling out the chair for her and opening the door, now that's a load of shit. Just pay for the dinner. Like. And if you're getting the vibes that, you know, she's not digging it, then just leave immediately. Don't bother even paying. Just dash. Just dash out the door.
I would be saying, no, lad, come on now.
Yeah, no. Even, like, if I was on a date with a girl, and like, even if I knew... she wasn't going to be looking for a second date, you know, miraculously. But I'd still pay.
Oh, so you couldn't have it going round.
Yeah,
Johnny Smacks, he took her out on a date. He didn't even offer to pay.
That's the thing. Like,
And don't you be saying, oh, women won't be saying that, because they will.
Oh, they will. Oh, they'd ruin you, yeah.
Oh, they'd ruin you.
Yeah, like, you often see it on first dates and stuff, like.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, do you want to split the bill? And, like, immediately, if your man goes, oh, do you want to split the bill? I'd say every woman at home watching is just going, what a miserable fucker, like.
Yeah, but then it's such a thing. It's like the term, I think, for this, like, insisting on being chivalrous is called benevolent sexism. So,
yes. She'll be breaking out the fucking feminism card now in a minute. We'll all be.
Oh my God.
Well, listen, the good thing I've learned from this is that I never have to pay for lunch when exactly. I come to care.
Exactly. No, but I would, like, definitely. I don't know, it's strange. Like, depends, like.
Well, so today this wasn't a date, I'm told.
It was a strictly professional lunch.
Yeah. Lunch meeting.
Well, I mean, if we were going for dinner, if we were going out for lunch every Monday, like, eventually I'd say it'd be your twist tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get you.
We make you pay eventually.
The day you're paying, we'll all be getting the caviar.
Be ordering a bottle of Dom Perignon. But date-wise, Johnny, what's your rule for dates?
Yeah, but see, you insist on paying, right? Take her somewhere cheap. I was saying
McDonald's.
Oh, well, I went to Rockin' Joe's once on the first date.
Which is like
a knockoff.
Knockoff Eddie Rocket's cousin, yeah. Rockin' Joe.
I think I was saying this, and you can go out and, you know what I mean? She might get the old chicken tenders there. Oh, I'll pay for that. No, don't you worry, I'll pay for it. €6.
Happy days.
Happy days. Yeah. You might get her a can of Coke in, €7. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Whereas if you're bringing her for a steak now.
Well. You know what I mean? I'd be saying, Ash, we'd hardly get dessert, will we? You hardly want to start her, do you?
Jeez, we better get out of here. It's getting late. It's only 4:10, Johnny, in the day.
No, lads, on the first date, like, you have to be...
You have to look after her, yeah.
Have to look after her.
But you don't want her to get into the habit of thinking you're fucking rich either.
Mm.
Christ, you'll never get rid of her then.
So, like, maybe 4th or 5th date, then you would let her pay?
I don't know what I'd let her pay. I'd probably go Dutch then, maybe.
Wait, would you pay for the second date as well, Johnny?
I probably would, lad, yeah. I couldn't have a young one going around the place saying, that lad's fair miserable.
But so what's the first date? Say you go for dinner, right?
Right.
And you have a bottle of wine to dinner.
Yeah.
And you pay for that. Then you go to the pub.
On the second date?
No, after the first date. Say the first date you go for your drinks after dinner.
I've never gotten to that stage.
That's a long time for a first
date. That's a big date, lad. Yeah, I'd be bringing her to cinema. You wouldn't have to talk to her at all. Just do the popcorn trick.
And watch, you pay for her sexual harassment cases. You pay for the counselling.
No, like, you know, like, just say you went to the cinema on the first day. Like, you'd pay for the tickets and a bit of food. Maybe a share combo.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's it. You pay for that. Then second day, she might go for dinner. And then you'd be like, oh, no, I'll pay for that. And she might be like, no, we'll go halves. You'd be like, no, I'll pay for it. And then you'd either pay for it or you'd let her go halves. I don't know. Like... So it's nice to be treated as well, isn't it?
Okay, right.
Girls, I tell you what, girls, let us know.
Yeah, get in the ring,
Get in the ring. Get us on Snapchat, Instagram. Let us know what you think. First dates, second dates, who should pay? Is it 50-50? Like, you know, girls are mad into the old feminism thing now and stuff.
I'm going to come back to my first date. Say it's going well. You go for something to eat. And it's like, we go for a drink afterwards, right? So you have to pay him for the dinner. And then you go to the pub. And first round, so I get this. I mean, you can't keep buying rounds all night.
No.
But if that was me, I'd insist on getting the first round. Like, if somebody's after buying you dinner, at least you can.
Well, I tell you one thing. You know fairly quick there now what kind of a bird you have in your hands. If you're after paying for the dinner and she doesn't offer to pay on the first round.
Oh, be good luck.
Fuck, that'd be all she'd be getting would be the first round.
She's a gold digger.
Yeah, that's it. She'd take my money.
Way over town.
So does that sum it up for you, Maura? So next Monday, bring your fucking checkbook.
So, yeah, first date, all man.
Yeah.
Second date, I'd be offering, but...
She'd want to be buying the drinks. She'd want to be, yeah, something maybe, something small. Something just to show it's not all one-way traffic.
Mm.
And that is the two Johnny's love advice. Maura, thank you very much for your topic. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. I wouldn't be, just on first dates, I wouldn't be bringing a girl to the cinema on the first date, Johnny.
Okay, where are you going on the first date?
Somewhere you can have a bit of crack.
Where's that?
You know, Lamp and Rabbits or something. No, no, I mean, actually, funnily enough, my mother and father, their first date was a GA match.
Jesus Christ.
That's the truth now.
Did your dad pay for both tickets?
He did.
Oh, there you go.
Probably got him through the club.
Yeah. They were discounted tickets.
I say, my mother's in Dublin. Yeah. And... long story short, anyway, I think Dublin were in a match in Croke Park and Federer got tickets. So yeah.
There you go.
Impressed her.
So you're going to be bringing birds to GA matches across the summer?
I don't know. I'd be getting fairly aggravated at tip matches now. Like, I'd give off a bad first impression. I'd probably accidentally punch her in the jaw when I was fist pumping. Ah, Polly Marr! She's scared the life out of her. Your one's gone home. But cinema, you can't talk or not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it takes away them awkward silences.
You just want to get to know a girl, like.
Yeah, shows what I know. We leave it there, so.
We leave it there, so. Okie doke.
That was Mara's mystery topic. Hope you enjoyed it.
Hon Mead, hon Mara.
We're moving on. Lads, don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Give us an old 5 stars on the iTunes.
Subscribe is probably the handiest way
subscribe
to go.
Subscribe as well, and then you'll get a little notification.
Yeah, because you just don't know. Facebook, that's, what way is it going?
Yeah.
You know, Snapchat.
Snapchat's gone too.
After making a ball to that update. So, you know, just subscribe. Make life easier for everyone.
You,
right.
You said it, John. You said it, boy.
I meant it too.
Good man. I tell you, I love when you're firm. Okay, topic number 3, lads. Now, this has been a bone of contention for a while. My sister's confirmation's coming up. So we got onto the topic and we said we had to share it with you. So communions and confirmations. I mean, how have communions and confirmations changed since we made ours, Johnny and Mara? Johnny, what's your memory of your communion or confirmation?
Well, the reason that this came up was because I said, how much should I stick in the card going to the confirmation? And I got wildly varying responses on Snapchat, but did an Instagram poll, and the clear winner on the Instagram poll was that I should be putting €50 into the card. Now, I can tell by your reaction, Maura, you're not happy with that.
Well, like, you're giving a 12-year-old €50, okay? How many €50 is that 12-year-old child getting? Like, so they could end up with, like, you know...
Well, she's getting a Taylor Swift ticket at me, I tell you, and it's more than £50.
Like, they could end up with a deposit for a house, you know?
That's...
A dollhouse.
But yeah, no, seriously.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money, yeah. She'll probably make a few pounds just if it happened to her for a loan, anyway, if she does. But yeah, like £50. I think £50 is way too much. £30, I'd be saying, max. Even
gift
20.
In the card.
Yeah. In the car.
Sure, I suppose it depends how well you know her.
That as well. Johnny, do you remember your communion?
I do actually. I rang the mother about this yesterday, and then she came up last night with a load of embarrassing photos, which I'm going to stick them up on the gram.
Yeah, I've mine too.
Now, my communion, we didn't go out. You know, people go out for dinners nowadays.
Go away.
Like, people...
Yeah, go to... Yeah, like, we're going to...
Yeah, we're going out for our sister's one. We came home, big crowd of us. And the one thing I remember is we had... The mother cooked the turkey. Like, it was Christmas all over again. And she gave me the leg of the turkey. Because I love it so much. That was a treat. I got the whole leg to myself. And I know you'd enjoy this, Johnny Smacks, because you don't like brown meat.
No. When I was butchering, lad, there was no legs of turkeys going in.
I remember that. People used to come to Johnny Smacks and say, well, you bone and roll a turkey for me. And what did you do?
Chopped the legs off. And didn't give him the legs at all. Sure, they didn't know the difference. There you go, lads. Apologies to anybody who loves the turkey meat.
Just because you didn't like brown meat, none of your customers got brown meat ever.
But I tell you what, I'll tell you why now. This is off the topic, but if you bone in the leg, right?
Yeah.
And bone it in with the breast meat.
Right.
When you cook it and cut it open, it's like white and then bits of brown in it.
Yeah, the brown
so is straight away. Maureen, who got the turkey off you, saying, ah, he's after giving me all dodgy meat, that's all brown. Although it's the leg meat, but sure, she doesn't know that. So now on Christmas Day, they're all cutting up the turkeys, lovely, nice white turkey, good man Johnny Smacks, that's a grand turkey. And they're none the wiser, because I don't think any of them will be listening to this podcast.
Sorry, I love brown meat, I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
Do you remember yours?
Do I remember my communion?
Yeah?
Yeah. I was a big enough fella.
A big unit, lad.
I was large around the hips. Now, between communion and confirmation, I was fairly big. And the poor mother's heart was broke trying to find me something to wear. Oh, Jesus, I tell you one thing. There were trousers being let out and taken up and bits added to them. Jesus, I tell you. I was nearly wearing a quilt by the time it got through to.
Elastic bands.
Yeah, I had a nice Ben Sherman shirt. Yeah, they had to be elasticated pants, lad. Cut the arse off you otherwise. I had a Ben Sherman, everything was Ben Sherman back then, Ben Sherman shirt, and I had a check shirt, kind of, for me communion, and a navy jacket, and a pair of cream supposed to were kind of cards slash... I was dressed like a mini teacher. that was from my communion, and I think I had an old pair of jeans then for the confirmation. Now, the confirmation, we all wore robes.
Right.
Now, my mother sent me on a photo today of me in the robe. I may or may not put it on Instagram. Lads, like, you know, humor was different back then. Like, it was funny to wear an all-white robe with a pointy white hood and pull it up outside the chapel and get a picture taken. But if you were in Florida now or somewhere, I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't be doing it.
Like, you didn't go around burning crosses that night or anything?
No, no. But if you looked at the photo, lad, you'd think I was.
So, we actually wore our uniform.
For your communion and your confirmation.
Yeah, it was handier.
Mm. Well, I think the robes are a good idea. Like, they just look scandalous, like.
But you had your cool clothes on underneath.
Cool clothes. Well, I don't know how cool they were when you're 15 stone at 12 years of age. Like, there's not too many clothes look cool on you.
On the burger. But
I did have a yarn jumper, yeah, and probably a pair of men's pants. Yeah, like, from my confirmation now, like, we were shopping in, like, men's shops. You couldn't get fucking kids' clothes, lad. They wouldn't go. I was wearing a large River Island at the time or something.
Because young lads look lovely in the little suits, like.
Ah, yeah, it's gas for the communion. Now, I didn't wear a little suit now. I wore kind of a... Now, my cousin, though, he made his communion and had him in a sailor suit. Bit fucking odd, but, you know.
Open the altar.
He was a cross between...
Aye, Captain.
He was a cross between a sailor and something with a fucking Top Gun. So I don't really know what the dress code was back then. I mean, like, if he's dressed like something with a Top Gun... Why isn't a fella wearing a Spider-Man suit or something? You know, if it's fancy dress.
Cowboy hat.
I don't really get it. But I mean, I remember from my confirmation queuing up to get a picture taken with the bishop.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he was a celebrity. Like he was Heath Braxton from Home and Away and lads queuing around the corner to get a photo taken with him.
No selfies.
No selfies back then. You had the local weird photographer be taking the photos of you.
Can I get your home phone number?
You know, they're notoriously weird. It's the one time of the year, I suppose, everybody pretends to be holy. You know, you go to Mass in the lead up and for the week afterwards, and then you never go again. That's the confirmation, anyway.
Can I throw something out to you there now about the confirmation? Mm. Do lads still take the pledge?
Yeah, well, I said in last week's podcast that I took the pledge. I think.
Did you stick to it?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I didn't. Okay. Like the first drink I had, I drank before I was took the pledge. I was partial to Baileys and coffees when I was 11 years old.
Jesus Christ.
Handmade.
Start them young, lads.
And so you stayed off the drink then until 18?
Yeah. The first drink I had when I was 18 was actually at my surprise 18th birthday, and somebody passed me a can of Coors Light.
But can I ask you...
You've been hooked ever since.
Well, you staying off the drink, did that actually have anything to do with the pledge now? Did you take the pledge seriously?
It was really weird. I was planning on, I was definitely planning on not taking, or like, I was like, no, I'm not going to be controlled by the Catholic Church. Like, yeah. I'm just here to collect the money, lads. You know, that's
ching ching.
Yeah. And then like the bishop was like, he was kind of doing his speech before he telling people to take the pledge. And he's basically like, now don't take it if you can't keep it. So like, of course, me was like, are you saying I can't keep it? Are you saying I'm not capable of keeping it? Feck yeah, I'm taking the pledge. And then I took it out of spite. So, yeah, but it worked out. I would recommend to people, like, don't, I would say, like, because it's a great thing, like, especially with, like, social media and teenagers now, like, no embarrassing photo exists of me between the ages of 12 and 18. Mm. Now, college is a different thing, but, yeah.
Yeah, no, I never took the pledge. I don't know, was I made aware of it like at the time?
Oh, you were, lad. Everyone had to, maybe the priest read it out, and I'd say you just mumbled along with him, like.
Probably so, yeah.
It's like us all, we all took it and immediately broke it.
I didn't stick to it anyway, no. I my abiding memory of my confirmation is being given a chain by my aunt with a dove on it.
Cool.
And I had the heart to tell her, like, as I said, I was a big lad, and I had a big steak neck on me.
Like a guard.
Yeah. And the chain she got me was more like a choker on an Alsatian now than it was an actual chain.
Come here, boy.
And I was just thinking, like, this yoke doesn't even fasten around my neck. Could you not have just given me £20 at the time or something like that?
Thanks, Auntie.
That's a shit gift.
I remember being at Mass one time with the grandmother when I was only a schmalboy. And this is before I had made my communion. So before you make your communion, you can't get communion in mass. But I went with the grandmother and she was like, communion time, mop. And I was like, I can't, granny, I've made my communion, you know. She's hard of hearing. And I suppose she told me the grandkids, she didn't know which one I was. So I was like, I can't go up, granny, I can't go. She, come up. And she was getting angry, she was getting agitated now at this stage. So I had to go up and get it.
My God, communion. You took communion before you made your actual communion.
I stuck it in my pocket.
It's no wonder you're pure evil, lad.
But it was gas, like getting the granny to get communion for her. It's like, you know, asking someone older to go into the offie for me. Will you get me communion?
Is it still a thing that, like, you know, when you make your first Holy Communion, you go up and you stick your tongue out, like, and the priest lobs it onto your tongue. But, like, you can't get it into your hand until you make your confirmation.
What?
I think they've changed the rules around that recently.
Yeah, no, I told you.
Yeah, I did hear something on the radio. All right, now that the so yeah, like, it's like, you know, like,
you can put it in your hand straight from the priest. Then is it? Make it out what you will.
I think we might edit that bit. Hey, so.
Oh, there'll be no edits in this podcast, Mara.
But like that is a thing. Like,
yeah, I think so. I think, like, basically for like hygiene and that, because inevitably, like, you're going to be getting a little bit of saliva on your finger if you're putting something on somebody's tongue.
Should the priest be wearing surgical gloves?
If you go into Eucharistic ministers,
yeah, if you go into the deli, she won't make you a chicken roll without having the gloves on. But I mean, if you're getting the body of Christ, should there be rubber gloves worn?
There we go.
Genuinely, no, I'm not taking the mick.
That's a fair one.
Because if I take the mick out of mass, the mother will kill me.
No. Yes. No. So, communion dresses, lads.
They're lovely.
Just bigger they're getting.
Fancier.
Just like big gypsy wedding, no?
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast.
They're all getting these big, massive dresses. I think it's a... I think you hit the nail on the head. Oh, hey, so when ye all wore your uniforms, did the girls wear the uniforms?
No,
as
the
well?
Girls wore dresses.
Right.
Yeah, so we had separate schools, by school and the girls' school.
Oh, okay.
So the girls all looked lovely in their dresses and ye came up with the uniforms.
And we had the white pin on your chest. And then having their confirmation, you have the red pin, the fire, the Holy Spirit. Red pin.
God, you've a great memory, John.
Yeah.
I just found the photos this morning.
Now, the other thing is like, before the communion comes the first confession. Strange.
What? Do you make your confession before the communion?
Yeah, it is more, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to make...
Let's go to our church correspondent, Maura, for the answer here.
Yeah, no, you're the first... So, like, there's seven sacraments. The first sacrament is your baptism. The second sacrament is the confession. And you have to do that, like, 6 weeks before. It's like, I don't know, the mock theory test or something like that.
You for communion.
Yeah, before your communion. And then you make your communion, yeah. So.
But, like, does anybody go to confession anymore? When was the last time you were at confession?
Oh, 2000 and...
Yeah, go on.
Seven, I'd say.
I'd say I haven't been to confession since I was in sixth class. Genuinely.
I think this podcast is kind of our confession.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, things have shit. Like, in your first Holy Confession, like, oh, I was bawled for Mammy and Daddy. Like, you know, you're hardly going to go in now and be like, hi, Father, it's been, like, 17 years since my last confession. I was drunk last week and called me boss a prick, and then I kicked the wingmer off his car. Like, you're not going to really go in and tell the priest the truth, are you?
I suppose he's not allowed to tell anyone else, like.
Well, lad, they definitely go home and discuss it anyway. I'm telling you. Cheers, you're about Maureen down the road, like. I'm telling you. Big gossip, lad.
I'd love to go to confession then with all the priests and tell them all a different lie and see what I get back around.
See what I get back around the town.
a double blind.
Singing in the choir, Johnny. I suppose you were up singing Alle, Allelu, Alleluia.
I had a solo, yeah.
Did you? What song was it?
I don't remember.
Ninarki curla kalos koranri shul shuli soliste.
And I'm after learning so many songs since that, like, I can't remember them all.
Yeah, but you had a solo.
I had a solo, had a couple of lines.
Yeah.
Up in the altar, pure proud.
Up in the altar and all.
Up in the altar, lad.
Ah, you must have been good, lad. You must have been licking some arse in primary school.
I was a good singer, lad.
Did you ever serve mass?
Yeah, I was a mass server, yeah. Some crack. Myself, Gonzo, and Bernard Lonergan. We were a team, lad.
A trio,
yeah. One time, my mate Gonzo, he was serving mass, and just for the crack, we had big robes, you know, the big white robes. And he went out one day with nothing but his boxes on under the robe. And he told no one, just did it for the crack. Just to amuse himself, like. Came back into the sacristan and got changed afterwards. And we were like, lad, why are you wearing just jocks and a pair of Doc Martin boots? Yeah, sure, why not that? And he had purple football socks on.
Oh man, that's brilliant. Yeah. That's brilliant. So he used to serve mass and all. God, Johnny, you're a holy Joe altogether. Now, here's a question for the people at home. They can let us know about this. Girls wearing the dress into mass the next day.
What?
So, like, you get your communion on the Saturday, and then you obviously have to act holy for another day. So you go to 12 o'clock mass or whatever the next day on the Sunday. And the girls used to wear the dress into the mass again. That was the thing up in Ross Gray anyway. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is. Like, you were asking me this earlier. I don't remember wearing my communion dress to mass the following Sunday, but I do remember there's this thing in Drumconnor, and they do, like, so you'd be making your Holy Communion in May, and then there's this thing in Drumconnor, the little village I'm from, and I don't know if it's done anywhere else. It's called the procession. And it basically is like, all the parishioners of the village, like, walk behind this marching band, and we walk up the village, and
that's
then
an
down
Orange Order
the village.
Parade.
It basically is, and then we stop at the grotto, and the priest is underneath this like tent canopy thing, being carried by four lads around him, and he's carrying the tabernacle. And
that's St. Patrick's Day, Marla.
No, this is like the procession, because it's kind of the thing now that like we would have went to the procession when you were little, but now, like, if the procession's on, I get a text off my brother, don't drive through the village this evening, the procession's on. So
basically they march around all the
did they go around all the housing estates or what, like?
No, it's just like the Drumconnor's a small village, so it's like it's literally like 400 metres long. So it's like 400 metres up from the church to the top of the village, and then back halfway down the village to the grotto, and then everybody kind of gathers outside the grotto while a couple of priests go in and say mass. I don't know if they even say mass. It's like, because I don't think communion's given out, but they pray, and it's like decades of the rosary. Like, that's the thing. As the procession's going up the village, like, there's the marching band playing, and then the rosary's being called out. And yeah, it's very strange. If the procession goes on in any other part of the country, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Get in touch if you've been part of the procession or anything else. Let us know. I'm intrigued by that. It sounds like, you know, it's a feast for the senses if you're into that kind of thing. I suppose.
Bit
of mass and a
couple
of rosaries.
You'd be in it in your white skirts.
Yeah, like the girls who made the, you know, like,
in the dress,
like,
yeah.
The communion, yeah. But like,
and the boys.
The boys, I don't really remember now. Like, it's, yeah. Every girl would like love the excuse to wear their communion dress again, because it is,
and walk around the town and let everyone see it.
Oh yeah.
Wait, so when would the procession be? The day after or what?
No, it'd be like a month and a half later, maybe 6 weeks later, I think.
God, but sure, a lot of people nowadays actually rent their communion dress, I'm told, save money.
Yeah, so probably makes sense. Yeah, because like
you don't need it.
Well, then like, I'm just thinking back to my communion dress. So yeah, I showed you a picture earlier on of me making my communion, and it's like perfect white dress.
Yeah, and you told us there was no embarrassing photos of you, Mara, huh?
Yeah, right. I think I looked cute. And then there's a photograph for me later in the day. So like basically we went for dinner, and then I made I was like having a little diva moment. I was like, I'm a princess. You're taking me to do exactly what I want. We're going to the circus. So there's a picture of me with my dress absolutely wrecked, like, you know, because I would have been like running around the place, like the dress is wrecked, the hair is a mess, and I'm standing next to this black bear at a circus. It's just the weirdest one ever.
How much did you make for your confirmation, John?
Confirmation?
Yeah, money.
No, you make big money at the communion. The confirmation was only a smaller deal, I think.
Jeez, I made big money at the confirmation, didn't I?
And for your communion?
I can't remember the communion. Like, that's years ago. I made 900 quid for the confirmation. I went to a Liverpool match and I bought a Nokia 3310 monophonic ringtones, lad. They were the cool thing. Snake as well. That's what
Snake 2 you had by 3310.
No, maybe it was a 5210. The old ones, the blocks anyway. Terrible phone. But the battery life was around 4 weeks.
It's still going, that phone.
The phone is still alive. You can't get the end of it.
900 euro you made.
I've heard of lads now buying calves out of confirmation money, and then rearing the calf, making the fat and selling it, and then making more money. So entrepreneurship from a young age.
That's it. Like, I think there actually should be like advice for children on how to invest your communion and confirmation money.
AIB are now opening up appointments for kids on how to save SSIA on the confirmation money.
Eddie Hobbs, what you should do with your confirmation money now? There's great opportunities in apartments in Dungarvan.
So
the thing is, my confirmation money, so I made 160 euro for my confirmation. And I bought a bike, and then between, so that's the end of sixth class and then first year. And between that time, over those 2 months, I had a growth spurt. So I outgrew my bicycle, and it did me for that summer. It did me for 2 months. And then it was
Did you sell it on or anything?
I know. I think I had to give it to my younger sister or something.
Dundee wasn't around back then.
Denied.
Okay, so that's it on confirmations and communions. We're moving on to our next section, yurt or dirt. Johnny B, what is your yurt of the week?
Yurt or dirt? So my yurt of the week has to be Laker Larry, which was the TV show on TG Car, Laker Gale, where they do a special an hour long on a GA player. And this week it was Tipperary's own Mercurial Larry Corbett from Turles Sarsfields. And it was fantastic. Lar spoke well. Lar, he kind of talks unusually, and his analogies and metaphors, you won't hear anyone else using them. And he talked about Babs was the manager, and then he was trying to be a selector, and Lara was saying, like, when you're driving the bus, you can't go halfway down the bus, you have to just get off the bus or else drive the bus. And this went on for a few minutes, and it was very funny. It was an excellent show.
Yeah.
And it went through everything about Lara, a really unusual player, and two or three managers came through in the middle and just couldn't get the best out of him. And then when Liam Sheedy came in, he'd Eamon O'Shea, who's a lecturer up in Galway, and Eamon was selector, and he was able to get the best out of Lair. He understood Lair, and he unleashed the Lair, and Lair got player of the year in 2010. And I was at the dinner. The all tip players getting their medals presented to them in Dundrum House, and I was at the dinner, and he said Micheál Mohertig was MCing, and he says to Lair, "When I remember you being introduced to the Tipperary panel many years ago, Nicholas English said to me, there's a young lad in Turles, and if you get him right, he's magic." And Lara only said, "Asher, give that lad a few pints, he'd say anything."
So that was your yurt of the week, John.
And on a smaller note, Roscommon CBS, the school, I did an interview with them over the phone, and they sent me down one of their actual team's jerseys. And I wore a training, and all the boys said I was super cool. Thanks to Roscommon CBS.
Very cool, very cool. My yurt of the week is the bravery of the Irish people, you know.
For putting up with us.
For putting up with the snow, mainly. You know, we must be the only nation when we're told to stay inside that we all immediately go to the pub.
Yeah.
You know, like that is bravery. National crisis, they were saying. No, just an excuse for a few pints.
Yeah, the whole place kind of looked like, you know, the end of Electric Picnic.
Yeah. They were just wandering around the place. No one really knew what was going on, what day of the week it was.
Cans.
So the bravery of the Irish people and the community spirit, I think that as well. Like, there's a photo going around of a grandson and his grandmother.
On Cork.
Yeah, down in Cork, going down the hill. Lads, that sums it all up for me. So the Irish people are my yurt of the week. And also, if you're on Netflix, if you're watching Netflix on Netflix, like it's a fucking social media. If you're watching Netflix, Darren Brown, The Push.
Darren Brown.
Darren Brown.
Darren.
No.
Darren.
Darren.
He spells his name D-E-R-R-E-N. Darren.
Yeah. So
what a prick. Are you telling me he was actually christened Darren?
I don't know. It sounds cool anyway. Darren Brown, The Push. Lads, it'll blow your mind. I don't want to ruin it for you, but just watch it on Netflix.
How many episodes is it?
It's just one. It's one off. It's a special. An hour. And I think it's like an hour and 10 minutes. Watch it, right? Darren Brown, The Push. They're my yurts of the week. Johnny B, your dirt of the week.
Dirt. My dirt of the week is lads shouting in the gym. Now, I started going to the gym a bit, and if you go very early in the morning, there's a period there where it's grand because all the Polish lads are still in the factory. Now, I'm not joking. Okay, I don't know where they're from. They're Eastern European lads, right? And they've been sitting in the gym on the bench, and all I can hear is like there's a velociraptor trying to do bicep curls over there. I swear to God. It's just tone it down, lads.
And cut down on the shaping too.
Huh? The shape, well, you're so man to talk, you are. Johnny Shaper. So just calm down on the shouting. And also the tunes that they play in the gym are absolute scutter. I'd rather listen to Silence, now, to be honest. Some days I feel like catching the speaker and horsing it out the window. It's just, there's just remixes of Everton. Today I heard a remix of, it was like a halftime version of Macklemore Can't Hold Us mixed in with Super Freak. And I really want to say, like, who thought that was a good idea?
I'd rather listen to a fella playing a squeeze box.
And Smacks hates squeeze boxes.
Yeah.
So just, if you're in the gym, that's grand, do your own thing. But cut down the shouting, lads. Cut down the shouting. And somebody start out the music. Put on a bit of Lynyrd Skynyrd there or something, and we all enjoy ourselves.
So that's your dirt of the week. My dirt of the week has to be the lads destroying the Lidl in Tala. Lads, they're animals. You know what I mean? Like, it's scandalous. I have to say, like, we have said, it's absolutely cat. But you'd think they would have robbed somewhere decent. Like, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do with a clothes horse, like a spade and a sandwich maker at 11 o'clock at night. I don't know what you're going to do, like, and I don't know who you're going to sell it to, because it's blatantly come from a Lidl. But I think it's absolutely shocking. And I mean, I was just talking about how good the Irish community are, like, and the fun we had in the snow, and then these lads go and knock a Lidl with a digger and rob it. It's just scandalous.
They took the good, like, we're having, everybody was having great crack.
Yeah.
Until then.
They took the old shine off us.
Can I just say,
even thieves should have standards.
Did you see the footage of it, of the building coming down? Didn't it come down wicked handy?
Came down handy enough now, lad.
That was definitely built in the boom. Because No, me and you, at different stages of our lives, both worked in the local Super Value here. And I'm telling you, ten ton of Semtex wouldn't knock down Dolan's back. Honest to God.
I'm with you, 100%.
So that your man in the digger, he shouldn't have been doing it.
No.
But just saying, it came down wicked handy.
Came down handy, lads. No, but that's definitely my dirt of the week. We don't condone that kind of behaviour. Isn't that right, Mara?
Yeah, I just say on that, I'm sure the Lidl had their buildings are right up to safety standards. Oh. I'd say your man just hit a lucky beam.
No doubt, Mara.
That's all our arse is covered anyway. Thanks, Mara. Lads, that's it for this week. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends, take their phone and just download it and make them listen to it. Thanks very much, lads, for listening again. And you'll catch us in Care House Saturday night if you fancy a gig. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and give us 5 stars. And don't be leaving negative shit. You know what I mean? Go on, just nag someone else if you're into that shit. Don't be leaving it on ours.
Yeah, enjoy yourselves. And if you have anything you want to say to us, you can send us a message on Instagram.
Or Snapchat.
Snapchat. And we'll try and get back to you.
We will.
And don't be snapping us streaks.
Yeah.
Please.
Stay away from that.
Please now. Please.
Right. Behave yourselves. Be nice to each other. Good luck. I'm Johnny Smacks.
I'm Johnny B.
Goodbye.
That's Maura.
Love it.
Good night.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast is a big ball, small ball production.